Hey guys, what is up? I'm Caitlin, your host of the Entrepreneurship Podcast. Every week we have conversations over life, business, and creative entrepreneurship. So if you're feeling inspired, if you're ready to embrace new possibilities, and of course, if you want the best kept business tips, then keep on listening. Let's get into today's episode. Hey everyone, welcome back to today's episode. Today I'm joined by Sarah Burke, North Carolina resident and digital marketing guru. She's a Pinterest manager and strategist for service-based businesses. Pinterest can be a platform that a lot of service providers need to use but struggle to understand, and that's why I've invited Sarah to come on and chat with us today. So welcome, Sarah. Thank you so much for being a guest today. Please tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. As Caitlin said, I am a Pinterest marketing expert. I live in North Carolina, and building sustainable marketing strategies for businesses is my total jam, as well as my two cats, who are my life.
We love animals for sure. What are your cat? Yep. What are your cats' names, and how long have you had them?
So we've had them for a little under a year. They just turned 1 year old, but their names are Willow and Griffin.
Willow and Griffin. That is so cute.
I know. They're such sweet babies.
Have you always been a cat person or?
Definitely. Okay. Grew up with both, but cats, I think I have a preference for them.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I have two dogs. So you have two cats, two dogs. We're animal people. And my sister, she just got a cat. Like, she adopted a cat like a year ago. So they are just so cute. They're so like easy to take care of. They're low maintenance, which is really nice.
Super nice.
I know. Super, super nice. I read on your website that you love reading. So I want to know, like, what are you reading right now and why?
Yeah, right now I am reading Ellen Hildebrand's The Hotel Nantucket. And I saw this recommended by, like, everyone, I feel like. And for good reason. I'm only a little bit ways through, but it is so good. It's the perfect combination between, like, beach read and something that's a little bit more substantial. I don't know. I've never read her before, but I'm loving it so far.
Okay, amazing. Well, I've never heard of that author or that book, but I'll definitely have to look into it. I just purchased The Nook from Barnes & Noble. I have like a bunch of books, you know, downloaded on there, and I'm like, okay, I need to just start, you know, getting through all these books. The one that I'm reading right now, I don't know if you've heard of the Jeanette McCurdy memoir, I'm Glad My Mom Died. That's the one that I'm reading right now, and it's been so interesting. You know, to get a glimpse at like behind the life of this child actress. It's like so interesting.
Yeah. I've heard some of the things coming out about it. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Super fascinating. I'm obsessed with it. So that's like the one I'm reading right now, but I definitely need to check out the one that you were just talking about. And okay. So books are awesome, but I know we all love TV shows. I mean, are you the type that doesn't watch TV, or do you enjoy TV?
No. All forms of media, I'm here for it.
Yeah, all forms of media. I love it. So what's your favorite show on Netflix?
Okay, it's not Netflix.
Or Hulu, or,
Apple TV. Yeah, it's Ted Lasso. I think it is one of the best shows possibly ever.
Wow.
It's a good, I know, but it's such a good mix of like humor and like sweetness. I feel like everyone can like it for their own reasons, and it's just so good.
And it's called Ted Lasso?
Yeah, it's about an American football coach who moves to Britain to coach a soccer team there. And it's just sweet and funny and all the good things.
Okay, wow. I'm loving all the, you know, shows and books that you're talking about today. Things I've never heard before. So this is what is so cool about talking with, you know, different people, different creatives, because there's always just like new information to be shared and learned. So
yeah, for sure.
Definitely a benefit. For me, I feel like I'm a little bit more basic. I like to keep my shows really basic, and ironically, they're not on Netflix anymore, but you know, The Office, Gossip Girl, they're my jam.
Oh yeah.
You know, they're just so good. They're like timeless classics now at this point.
Comfort shows.
Comfort shows for sure. So to our listeners that are tuned in today, Sarah is, you know, in Durham, as she mentioned before, and I used to live in New Bern, North Carolina. North Carolina is a beautiful state. And I really, really miss it. I've definitely been feeling really nostalgic and reminiscent of North Carolina. So Sarah, what is like, where's your favorite place in North Carolina? Or like, what's your favorite thing to do in Durham? Or
that's a tough question. That's a big one.
Yeah.
I mean, in general, North Carolina, I really love it because you have the beaches, you have like sort of city atmosphere right. in Raleigh and Durham, and then you have the mountains in Asheville.
Exactly.
So you can't go wrong wherever you go, right. but my favorite thing to do is honestly just to try local coffee shops. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best way to really tune into the culture of a city and also get caffeinated, which is caffeinated. Always important.
Yes. Do you have your coffee with you today?
I do.
Oh, good. See, look, okay, twins, perfect.
Yes.
I love it. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, traveling to coffee shops for sure. And that's what I always tell people when they're wanting to travel somewhere. I'm like, well, you need to go to North Carolina because the mountains are there and the beaches are there. And it's like you can go from one point to the next, mountains to beach, in like 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah. It's you amazing. Could do it in a day if you wanted to.
Yeah, you could. You really could. And have you ever been to New Bern? It's like, you know, it's a smaller town. You have? Yeah. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I love New Bern so much. Well, downtown New Bern. And it really gives you like Gilmore Girls vibes, you know, yeah, Stars Hollow. So yeah, if you guys are listening and if you've never been to New Bern, look it up on Google. It's really, really, really cool. And just gives you those like really old town, you know, small town feels. So I'm feeling so like nostalgic. So I'm so happy to be talking to you today. But yeah. Breaking down Pinterest. So can you explain to our listeners why it's so important to use Pinterest? And yeah, we'll just start with that. Why is it so important to use Pinterest?
Yeah. So if you're anything like me 4 years ago, I basically just used Pinterest for recipes and home decor, finding inspiration. But when I started to take on more marketing roles, I realized how powerful it was for businesses, specifically like more creative businesses. And the most powerful thing about Pinterest is that it is a search engine more than it is a social media platform. So even though it kind of looks the same, you have content that you post, you get engagement and followers, the way the algorithm works is almost more like Google. So users are going there, they're looking for answers to their problems, they're looking to get inspired. So as a business owner, you can create content on Pinterest that shows up in those search results that might not be seen by those same people. So it's super easy to get discovered there, easier than, you know, relying on your following on Instagram. And then the content lifespan is just so, so much longer. I think I've heard that an Instagram post lasts something like 48 hours is like its main lifespan. Mm-hmm. But on Pinterest, a viral pin could keep bringing you traffic and sales for weeks, months, even years.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so true. Like Instagram posting, even TikTok, like the lifespans are so short. And yeah. It's almost like, yeah, they're really fun to create and you get to be creative and it's like, you know, you get the music and you get the action, but there is this kind of like hidden treasure within Pinterest that I don't think a lot of us realize. And for me personally, so I do know that Pinterest is like a treasure cove. I know it's a treasure chest, but I think like for a lot of business owners like myself, it seems like really, you know, intimidating, daunting. Oh, this is another search engine that I have to like feed, you know, content to. So I think there's like that, almost like that cloud of like stress that really like hangs over us, you know, for business owners. So what would you say to a business owner who has like that, those stressful feels about Pinterest, like somebody who thinks, oh, it's another, you know, platform to utilize. I have to pump content into it. Like how long does it take to kind of grow on Pinterest and why should a business owner, you know, let go of those fears around it?
Yeah, that's honestly what I'm all about. I, as a business owner myself, I understand how stressful and overwhelming it is to constantly be creating content for every new update and every algorithm, which is why I see Pinterest as more of like a support system for what you're already doing. Make it as least stressful as possible by using the content that you're already creating for Instagram and TikTok, for your podcast, and funnel that over to Pinterest. That's the best way to do it. I call it the like ultimate content repurposing machine, since most people...
Yeah, that's a good tip. That's a really good tip.
Most people that discover your content on Pinterest probably don't follow you on Instagram or they haven't seen your website. So it doesn't matter if you've already used the content somewhere else. You're showing it to completely new people.
Right. And what is the lifespan of content on Pinterest?
Honestly, forever. They're
forever.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. Once that's like a major selling factor.
Yeah. Once you have a pin take off, it can often stay at like the top of your analytics for as long as it keeps going.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So basically every business owner needs to be on Pinterest.
That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Well, do you think it's true or a myth that you need a website blog to have a successful Pinterest? Because I think a majority of what, you know, personally I see, especially when I'm scrolling on Pinterest, are those, you know, pin graphics that say, you know, it has like the title of the website blog, and then you mm-hmm. click on it and it takes you to that blog post and it's like explaining further of how to address certain problems, explaining information. So is it necessary for businesses to have blogs in order to have a successful Pinterest?
It's not a black or white answer, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I think that if you're going to be marketing on Pinterest and you want to get the most out of it, you should have a website. Mm-hmm. Pinterest prefers pins that link to your claimed domain, so mm-hmm. your website. Mm-hmm. But as far as having a blog, you don't have to have a blog. Mm-hmm. You can definitely use other forms of content, other links. So linking mm-hmm. to a podcast or YouTube videos, digital products, lead magnets, mm-hmm. sale pages, stuff like that. The main thing is you want to consider your goals and mm-hmm. your customer experience and the journey from discovery to purchase.
Right.
So if you are a service provider and you're trying to sell a high ticket service like branding design or web design, or copywriting, you're probably not going to convert a client from that first time they see your content on Pinterest, mm-hmm. which is where something like a blog post or your email list would come in handy, because they're actually getting to know you more, understand you, really get a grasp of your expertise. And over time, then they can convert into a client.
I see. Yeah, that's very smart. Like, we need to be consistent with that. And I know we hear that term a lot, but in order for a consumer to make a well-educated, you know, purchase from you, they need to be seeing your content often.
Mm-hmm.
So when in like the world of pins, are there different types of pins on Pinterest? And, you know, how many pins per day should a business really be posting for optimal growth?
Yeah, there are two types of pins. Mm-hmm. One is the static pin, which is what you described. It's like this pin graphic. You click on it, it takes you somewhere else, website, landing page, whatever. And those can either be just like one image or they can be a video. The other type of pin is an idea pin. Now, mm-hmm. idea pins were introduced in 2020, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to describe them as a combination between Instagram Reels and Instagram Stories.
Okay.
Because you have this like video format. It's very much so video friendly and video focused. But then you also have up to 20 slides in each idea pin to add other text, videos, images.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the big thing with idea pins is that they're meant to drive in-app engagement. So they don't link to your website or anywhere else. They're to encourage the users to stay on the app, stay on the website, and really engage with the content there.
Okay. Wow. So is Pinterest preferencing idea pins?
Yes. Since Pinterest, like all of us, it's a business. They want people mm-hmm. to stay on the app.
Right.
They're definitely promoting idea pins more, less heavily favored towards them than it was when they were first introduced. But you will see often that idea pins will get reach and engagement more quickly than your static pins.
Yeah.
But over time, it can even out. So I wouldn't recommend only using one or only using the other. I think a good mix of both is the best way to go about it.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. And, you know, for, you know, increased engagement, is it better to post directly like on the Pinterest platform, or do Pinterest managers and business owners need to be using third-party apps?
It's all about what's going to work for you, honestly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In the end, the numbers tend to not show a difference whether you post like manually in the Pinterest app or through a third-party scheduler.
Mm-hmm.
I think idea pins, you can only schedule them through Pinterest. You can't like schedule them ahead of time. So you do have to use it for that. But use whatever's going to be convenient for you. If you have the budget and you really want to batch your content, I would recommend using a third-party scheduler like Tailwind. But if you're just going kind of week by week, the Pinterest scheduler is perfectly fine.
Okay, yeah, I totally see what you mean by, you know, batch, you know, creating batch content or not.
Yeah.
And we all know, you know, doing batch content can be really stressful in itself. But sometimes that's necessary in order for us to kind of take days off during the month and just kind of have that like stress-free feeling and know like, hey, my content is going to be posted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So like as a Pinterest manager yourself, do you ever feel like, okay, I need to be optimizing my own Pinterest? Or do you like, what are your thoughts on that? Like, do you ever feel like Pinterest can be stressful for you? Or do you to kind of optimize it yourself?
I mean, I love doing it. It definitely can be stressful, though. As far as my own Pinterest, I don't really touch it much. I use it more as a ground for experimenting with new features or things to test them out before I take them to my clients. But I mean, I mostly just focus on my clients. They are doing the hard work and creating the content. And it's my honor to be able to put that on Pinterest for them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Definitely like having that, like having clients Pinterest take off kind of speaks for itself. And it speaks to what, you know, the value, like to the value that you bring as a service provider. So that's really all that a client could ask for, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's a common misconception about Pinterest that you think needs to be debunked?
There are probably tons, but I think the main one is people often think that you have to pin other people's content all the time, or that you have to be pin, like, especially if you're trying to hit some crazy goal of like 30 pins a day, which you do not need to do anymore. Essentially, pinning other people's content isn't going to factor into your strategy at all. Pinterest is really focusing on unique, fresh content, so your own content. And other people's pins, pin them if you want to, but you don't have to. So, like, it's fine to use Pinterest like you would as a user if you're looking for inspiration for your next project or if you're working on something for a client. You don't have to stay away from repinning at all, but it's not going to make an overall difference in your account. Now, there are two times when I recommend pinning other people's content. So one is when you create a new board, I like to add a couple pins that come up as suggested that relate to the topic of that board. Basically, what that does is it primes the board. So that way Pinterest already knows what it's about. So when you go to pin your content to it, they're like, oh, okay, this matches up. This is good.
Right.
And then the other time that I will pin other people's content is for Tailwind communities. So Tailwind is the third-party scheduler I use and recommend. And they have a feature called communities, which are groups of pinners that you can join based on your niche or your industry. And it's a form of reciprocal sharing. So you can add your pins to the community if you share other people's pins. You can get engagement on your pins earlier in their lifespan, and everyone benefits from it.
Amazing. So where did you learn all your Pinterest knowledge from? Is it like trial and error, or have you taken a course? Is it just like through marketing experience?
A little bit of everything, honestly. I learned kind of feet in the fire. Like I just got thrown into a Pinterest account. I was like, okay, we're doing this now. And then as I turned that into my full-time job and my business, I focused more on learning about the strategic parts of it. I took a few courses, some free, some paid. But with Pinterest and with how quickly it changes, a lot of it is just experimenting and trying to stay on top of things.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it's a little bit of everything. It's experience, it's knowledge. But like you said, it's like throwing ourselves into the fire and really just like working with it and seeing what's new, experimenting. What, you know, got you started with being a Pinterest manager and doing this full time?
Yeah, so when I graduated college, I was living in an area of North Carolina that didn't have a lot of the traditional like marketing corporate jobs. So I decided to freelance. I didn't know where that was going to take me, but I ended up working as a marketing assistant for an influencer, actually.
So I ended up,
doing a bunch of things for her, including managing her Pinterest.
I see.
Yeah.
Anybody we know?
I don't know. Her name is Jamie Huffman. She's actually based in Charleston. Very cool. Okay. She's like a marketing genius for herself and for her clients. But that's where I learned basically everything I know about the contemporary marketing world, especially on social media. And amazing. So right. When I started my business, I was like, I still don't really know what I'm going to do. But I, mm-hmm. Had Pinterest services available, mm-hmm. had someone hire me for them. And basically, I didn't look back. I pivoted fully to Pinterest. And we've been doing that for like 2 years now.
Oh, that is so cool. Yeah, I love that you have some of that prior experience in like the influencing world, but more so on like the back end, like the marketing world. Mm-hmm. And I really think that helps us to be more well-rounded with our marketing jobs. Because like for me personally, I worked in retail and I kind of was able to dip my toes into like e-commerce and retail. And that helps me out with, brand identity design and websites and stuff. So I think that makes us more well-rounded as marketing people and it helps us to do a much better job for our clients.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, I'm glad that you shared a little bit more about like your background and like what kind of got you started with Pinterest. And you shared so many incredible tips with us about Pinterest that I know our listeners are going to be implementing them, or at least they should be. And what practical or inspirational advice would you, like to share with our listeners today?
Yeah. I think if you take anything away from this, it's to seriously release whatever stress Pinterest has over you, because this is both my tack and Pinterest's approach to their own business model. Pinterest calls themselves the kind platform. It's very community-based, inspirational, not a lot of, drama, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I truly think that it should, again, act as a supplement to whatever else you're doing in your marketing, in your business. Don't let it be something that you spend hours stressing over. It is just one piece of the puzzle. And it's a piece at the top. So it's the top of your funnel. It's where people are discovering you. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be the make or break platform. Mm-hmm. Have fun, experiment, try different things, and just see how it goes.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned it's known as the kind platform. I didn't even know that, but thinking about it, it makes sense because it just feels more calm when you're on Pinterest and you're scrolling and it's inspiring and you're able to just like repin content and not have to worry about being bombarded with so many advertisements or like a ton of video content, which can be really overwhelming.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I think we all should, take your tips and really focus on Pinterest moving forward.
For sure.
Yeah. And if any listeners, tuning in today need some Pinterest advice, tips, reach out to Sarah. If you want to hire her, she has Pinterest management packages. So Sarah, tell everyone, listening where to find you online and how to connect with you.
Yeah. The best place is Instagram. My handle is @TheSarahBurke. And I have a website as well, but honestly, it's not updated. You can find everything you need to know on Instagram. And one of the things I really advocate for is sharing my knowledge. I think Pinterest can be easy to learn and you can do it yourself if you want to. So any questions, feel free to ask.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sarah. I loved having you on as a guest today, and I will talk to you on Instagram.
Sounds good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. So what did you guys think about today's episode? I'm curious. Please leave us your review and comment what topics you want to hear about in the future. And if you're a startup creative entrepreneur looking for the best tips, then go to my website at abovedesign.studio to download my brand launch checklist. See you guys on future episodes of The Entrepreneur's Hit.